Kumlen and Ablak Gemara. We are up to Masechta Edomin, Da Pei Zayin Amid Aleph, the Mishnah, right in the middle of the page. Okay. Amas Hamayim, which is basically a creek of water, and the Gemara Baba Kama, the Rashi says that what usually why it's called an Amma is, or a Mas, because it is usually like an Amma wide. And, you know, no, it's not very wide, like a creek, a brook, a little canal going through a chatzah. It's passing through a chatzah. Now the thing is that this water is coming from an outside source, and obviously it's coming from whatever it is, from a river or inland lake. So that source is a karmelis, and it's rushing right through the chatzah here and coming out on the other end. So basically, because on both ends it's attached to a karmelis, which rabbinically is considered a public space, and you're not allowed to carry from there into anywhere. So therefore, you're not allowed to carry from this creek to your chatzah. Even though it's clear, fresh water, you're not allowed to fill, draw any water from there on Shabbos. Elin Kain, unless he did something to mark it off from the rest. Also, la mechitza gavaya yutvachim, he made this wall that we talked about previously, this of 10 tvachim high, bichnisa ubiyitzia, the entrance to the chatzah and the outgoing chatzah. In other words, as if you sever it from the rest of the lake, even though underneath, obviously, that's where it's getting its water supply, but it looks like there's a wall there, and that's good enough. Not good enough. Could be learned before, mechitza tluya, suspended mechitza, we're very lenient when it comes to water, to draw water with it, it's good enough. Okay, as long as it appears to be mechitza. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said, like previously, he said the same thing. You don't even need that. If koisel shal gabay, if there's a wall, let's say, dividing the two chatzeres that walks right, goes right across this particular creek, then tidai meshur mechitza, that in itself can be considered a mechitza. So the wall, that the partition of the chatzah, that in itself can be considered a wall for the water as well. Even though it wasn't meant for that, that's good enough. And I'll prove it to you. Rav Yehuda Maase, there's a maase, ba'ama with this creek, shel Evel, a place called Evel, shayim emali mimena al piskenin b'shabbos, that they were able to draw water there by the advice of the elders on Shabbos. Omnuloy, they said back to him, that proves nothing. The city called Evel, and that creek over there they allowed them to draw water from, proves nothing. And the only way they're allowed to draw water is because they had the partition walls that went over the creek. And they said, proves nothing, why not? Mipnei, because that particular creek, Lahoye Bakashir, did not have, you know, it was not four tfachim wide, and because it was not four tfachim wide, it was not a karmelis. Or it was less than 10 tefachim deep. And therefore, it's treated like whatever reshus is next to. If it abuts a private place, it's considered private. And if it abuts a public place, it's considered public. Okay, it says about it further, let's understand this. Talk about what we learned. Asula b'knisa lazo. See, what have you made a partition on one end of the creek and not another? The entrance to the chatzim, not on the exit, the egress, and on the ingress. I didn't make it on the outside. Also, the other way around. You made it only on the egress and on the ingress. You're not allowed to draw water from there in Shabbos because it's a karmelis. You need to make a partition on both ends, which is exactly what our Mishnah says. Rabbi Yehuda says, like in our Mishnah, the partition, the wall of the chatzah, can be considered also good or sufficient for this creek. And Omar Abiyuda Ma'ise Bamasa Ma'im Shoyse Bo Me'Evel Zepoydi. There was this creek that was flowing from Evel, a town, outside Zepoydi. Vayim Malin Heimena B'Shabbos Al Pias Kenim, and they drew water there. Omar Loi said to him, "Misham Raya B'Pnei Shel Hoyse Amuka Yutfachim." It wasn't 10 tefachim deep, the Reich V'Dalad, nor was it 4 tefachim wide, and therefore it was not really a karmelis, and that is why they were able to draw water. You cannot prove anything from there. But if it's less than 10 tefachim deep or 4 tefachim wide, it's not chashuv, it becomes secondary to whatever the reshus it abuts to. It says in what Tanya, another b'raise follows. Amas ha-mayim, you have a creek of water, ha-iveres bein ha-chaloines, you have two houses, and you have a creek of water that's traveling between these two houses, and the houses have a bunch of windows facing that particular creek. So pachas megimel, if it's less than 3 tefachim wide, then we say Mishal Shadli Umimali. If it's less than Tvachim wide, you can lower your pail, your bucket, and you can draw water from there. However, the Gimel in, sorry, but Gimel, if it's wider than three Tvachim, a Mishal Shadli Umimali. Suddenly, three tefachim became an issue here, which is something that we don't normally learn. Usually, we learn it has to be four tefachim, right? Less than four tefachim is called a makam patur, and it's exempt. And yet, here we say three tefachim is the criteria. So, we'll soon we'll explain. Rashi Megillah says no pachim without, like we always say, four tefachim mishal shadli umimala. Less than four tefachim wide is considered a makam patur, and therefore you're allowed to take your bucket and draw water from there. But dalit, if it's four tefachim wide, then ein mishal shadli umimala, you cannot lower your bucket, because then it's just a rabbin. What's going on? What are we talking about? Ilema, what are we talking about? We say three and four. What has to be three? What has to be four? Ilema ba mas hamayim gufo. We're talking about the creek itself. If the creek is, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, less than four tefachim, it's a makam tur. But according to the rabbis, three tefachim is the criteria, that if it's less than three tefachim, it's a makam tur, and more than three tefachim is not. Where do you hear that such thing? Velahav, this general rule, the chiyosa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yechon, Rav Dimi came and from Israel, and he said the name of Rav Yechon, ein karmelis b'chus medal, in order to be considered karmelis, it has to be a minimum width of four tefachim. That means, lema ketanai, the two tanayim, because suddenly we found out here that there's an opinion that says that three tefachim, if it's only less than three tefachim, it's considered an exempt domain. But if it's three tefachim wide, a half an amma and wider, it's considered a karmelis, and you now draw water from there. We never heard such an opinion before. Is that so? That particular law is based on an argument of Tanayim, whether a karmelis minimum is four tefachim or three tefachim. Ella, we're talking about Akfer, the walls around it. You have walls around this creek, and the wall itself, depending how thick, if you're allowed to put things on top of the wall. So we're talking about, let's say, or Akfer literally means, you know, the whatever it is, the perimeter around these creeks. And the question is, Ula Hachlif, can you drop from your, let's say, your porch, your balcony, to this, you know, this, let's say this wall around it, right, this natural wall that's formed from sand and all that around the water, like a riverbank. And then can you take from there and put it into the water, which is the karmelis? So what you're doing is you're taking from your porch, which is a private place, to the water, which is the karmelis. You cannot transfer from a private place to a karmelis. But here you have a middle stage where you have the wall or the bank that's around it, and you place it on the bank. So if the bank is significant enough, so we're saying this, if you put it in the bank, on the wall around the this creek, if that bank, well, according to one opinion, less than three tefachim, according to the other one, less than four tefachim, is considered a makam patur, then you ended the water took from the porch and put the pail over there, the bucket there, finished. That particular act of carrying is over. And then when you pick it up from that wall and you put it in the water, you took from a makam patur to a karmelis. You could do that as well. And that's the question is, the wall is to be a makam patur, is that three tefachim or four tefachim? Now, how does that help us? Because we generally know that a makam patur is four tefachim. Less than four tefachim is not significant, then it's a makam patur. So, and how come they're arguing here whether the criteria is three or four? Says the Gemara. I'm going to ask a question. But he also Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yechon and Makam She'ein Boy Arba Al Abav is less than four tefachim. Mutul of Neder Shus Yochir Shus Mekasala. We had before. If you're talking about a threshold between a house and the street, and if that threshold is less than four tefachim, we said you're allowed to take from the house and put it on the threshold. You're allowed to take from the street and put it on the threshold. But as long as you don't use it as a ruse to take from the house, put on the threshold, and then from the threshold take in the street, because next time we're scared, you can take directly from the house into the street. Ubevachilei Achlifu. You shouldn't make that swap. So we see clear from there that it's four tefachim. And now you're telling me that the Tanakhama says it's actually the makam patur is three tefachim. So I mean, we didn't really gain anything, whether we're talking about the creek itself or we're talking about the walls around the creek. What's the difference? Says Hasam to show you the raiser. The case they're talking about is carrying from a house to the threshold, from the threshold in the street. You're talking about it's just a yachid, you're talking about it's just a rabbim. So compared to that, everyone agrees, if the threshold is less than four tefachim, it's insignificant compared to such a significant resource like a private place or a public place. But if you're talking about carrying from the yachid to a karmelis with that threshold in between, and here we have an argument. One opinion says, well, the criteria is the same. If it's less than four tefachim, that threshold will be a makam patur. And the other opinion says, no, because the karmelis itself is not such a significant resource, then in order for this threshold to be considered insignificant, even less than that, it has to be narrower than 3 tvachim, which makes it even less significant than the space that's between 3 and 4 tvachim. And since over here we're talking about carrying from your porch to this wall around this creek, which is, and then from the creek to the water itself is only a karmelis, therefore we have an opinion that says 3 tvachim. Here we're talking about only the Rabbanon, right? Or exactly in the case of the two courtyards, you know, and using the Amas HaMayim in between, also is to the Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, or in the case of, you know, the canal, putting on the wall, it's a Yachat or Karmelis, so therefore one opinion says, in order for the surface of the wall to be considered a Makam Ptur, totally insignificant, and you put things down there, it's a good interruption, then you can take them there into the canal, maybe it has to be less than 3 tvachim, it has to be so insignificant, because between 3 and 4 is sufficient significance that you cannot dismiss it compared to a karmelis. Says the Gemara, but Haknabi, but Rabbi Yechilam doesn't make equates whether it's Rishuyas Derabbanan or whether it's Rishuyas Deraisa. What do I mean? Because Rabbi Yechilam, but Rishuyas Derabbanan, even if you're carrying from, let's say, a private place to a karmelis, also has the same issue, and makes no distinction between carrying from a private place to a karmelis or carrying from a private place to a Rishus Rabbim. Regarding the Mokum Tur, what's the story? Tanya, we learned, a wall. The wall between two courtyards, give you tvachim if it's 10 tvachim high. The reichev abo, we talked about a partition between two different courtyards, is 10 tvachim high, and the thickness of that wall is 4 tvachim. Is ma'arvin shtayim, you definitely have two distinct courtyards, ve'ein ma'arvin echad, and you don't have one. Hoye b'roishe peiriz, but if you had sitting there fruits on top of the wall, eilu oile mekan v'oichlin, ve'eilu oile mekan v'oichlin. If you have on top of the wall, let's say food, either side can go on top of the wall and eat it there. And eat it there. Nifritz Hakoiso. What happens? What happens if there was, let's say, a breach in their in the wall? What do you call it? Going on top of the wall is a reshus for itself, so they can eat anything on top of the wall they want. But they cannot take it down, maybe, because it's considered, you know, a joint reshus taking it down. But anyway, nifritz hakoisel, let's say there's a breach in the wall between the two properties. So it depends. Ades at amas, if that breach is less than 10 amas, so we're flanked on both walls on both sides. So therefore we say, you still have two distinct courtyards with a door in between. So you have a choice. Either ma'arvin shnayin, they both can make the respective ervin in their own courtyards. If they want to, ma'arvin echad, they can join together and make one large ediv. Why? We treat it like a door. But if it's, let's say, the breach is wider than 10 amas, it's no longer considered a door. It's considered as if it's completely open to each other. We consider it legally as if it's one big courtyard. So the only way you can make an ediv is if they all join together. Is Marvin Ech and Marvin Shnayim. Abino asks a question, what happens if this wall is less than 4 tvachim wide? Amrav said, if it's 4 tvachim wide, it's a reshus on its own. But if it's less than 4 tvachim wide, so who dominates? Who owns that? Less than 4 tvachim wide, it belongs, it becomes ancillary to both courtyards. So you have two owners at the same time. So in order to carry on that wall, you need an owner aided. Amrav, Avir, Beze, Shuyish, Shaletesbay. Rav says, but they're both owned. You can't even move a hair breadth because you didn't make an edim on top of the wall. If there's 4 tvachim wide, it's a separate reshus altogether. Neither chatzar owns it. But if it's less than 4 tvachim wide, it becomes ancillary to both courtyards. And therefore, when you have two different owners, you have to have an erev. If you don't have an erev, you're not allowed to carry it all. And you're definitely not allowed to take from the wall and bring it into your own courtyard. Or lift things from your courtyard and put it on the wall. That's the Rav says. Rav Yechon says, "Elu ma'ilim mekan ve'oichlin ve'elu ma'ilim mekan." Rav Yechon says, "No, even though it's less than 4 tvachim, either side can take things from their own courtyard and put it on the wall. And why?" Rav Yechon tamei. Rav Yechon is consistent with his view. The chiyosu Ravdim Rav Yechon. Ravdim came along and said, "Rav Yechon, mokum she'ein boy alba. If the wall is less than 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, it's considered a mokum tur." Like that threshold in between the house and the street, they both can put things there. So what's he doing here? What did Rabbi Yechon just do? The Gemara just compared, Rabbi Yechon compared taking from a Shusha Yachid to Shusha Rabbi via Makam Tur, two, taking from one courtyard to another courtyard, which is only Asam Midir Rabbanan, via Makam Tur on the wall. And he equates the two dinim as if to say there's no difference if the Makam Tur is sandwiched between two domains which are from the Torah recognized, or two domains which are only recognized from the Rabbanan, like a Carmelis, like two courtyards there. It's only the Rabbanan that's forbidden to carry. So therefore the question goes back. It's clear from here, at least according to Rav Dimi, clear that he holds there's no difference between Shusha Rabbanan and Shusha Raisa. It goes back to our question. You told us that two braisa is one that says three tfachim, another opinion that says four tfachim. We're talking about the wall. L'chayda, which opinion holds that a Makam Tur, if it's wider than three tfachim, it's only a Makam Tur? There's no such opinion. And you told us there's a difference between if it's two rabbinical domains. And you see clearly from Rabbi Yochanan holds makes no difference rabbinical domains, biblical domains. It's always the same din, which means four tfachim or less. Less than four tfachim is a Makam Tur. So who is the author of that opinion that says three tfachim? Well, b'van shaleyachlifu, you shouldn't change it. Says the Gemara, ahi ze'iri amri. This was said by Ze'iri. Ze'iri said that you're not allowed to swap. Rav Dimi holds that you're allowed to swap. Rav Dimi holds that you're allowed to. This Rabbi Yochanan said, you're not allowed to go from one chatzah to another chatzah via the top of the wall. That wasn't said. Rav Dimi is the one who said about. So you are saying you're mixing things up. Rav Dimi is the one who said you're not allowed to carry from your house to your threshold and then take from the threshold into the street. That was Rav Dimi. But who's the one who said regarding a wall between two courtyards? Who's the one who said that a wall between two courtyards? If there's a wall less than four tfachim, you're not allowed to put on allowed to put on the wall. He's not allowed to swap, but you're allowed to put and take it down. That was Ze'iri who was saying there. And he was going to comparing a Rabbanan to the Torah. But Rav Dimi doesn't hold that. Rav Dimi holds the difference between a case of a house threshold street to a case of a courtyard wall, other courtyard. And therefore, according to Rav Dimi, there's a difference between the two, and he holds that only four tfachim is between the house and the street, but between two houses and a wall in between could very well be it's only three tfachim. So it's not a question. Says the Gemara Nu. So how is Zidi going to answer this? Since Zidi holds that there's no difference between Rishuyas Durabban and Rishuyas Duraisa, how is he going to explain that opinion that says only three tfachim? So the Gemara says, not a problem. You know why? Because Ze'iri, Ze'iri Kasha, Ze'iri Mukla, he will say, Bamasa Mayim Gufa. He will say, yes, I hold that Bryce is not talking about the wall surrounding the water, it's talking about the water itself. I asked the question, the water itself is a Carmelis. Everyone agrees that we're talking about the water, which is a Carmelis. We're not talking about the Makam Tur now, the wall, top of the wall. We're talking about the water. Because the water is connected to water sources on both ends. So the water it continues on, so it's a Carmelis. Are you going to tell me everyone holds a Carmelis is four Tvachim, and here you tell me one opinion that it's three Tvachim, it's only if it's narrower than three Tvachim. But why don't three tfachim it's a karmelis? So Tanayim, he taka holds. Rav Zidi would hold that there's a machlekes Tanayim whether a karmelis is three tfachim or whether a karmelis is four tfachim. That's what we hold. Says the Gemara regarding this particular creek. So what happens on both ends, it bulges the water and you have a proper karmelis and then you have, so it narrows as it passes between these houses. So let's say, even if it's three tfachim or two tfachim wide and you tell me it's no longer a karmelis, but we learned in Gemara Shabbos that you have a concept called the holes, that if you have a wall in Shusha Rabbim and you have holes in the wall and people put their things in there, you know, so we say that the holes of the wall have a din like the hole. So therefore, why don't we say the same thing over here, that this particular creek should be considered like the whole of a Carmelis, because really, it's part of the Carmelis on both ends, and therefore, the holes of the wall have the same status as the wall. So this particular creek should have the same status as the body of water on both ends, which is a Carmelis. And who cares if the creek itself narrows to less than four tfachim or less than three tfachim? The fact of the matter is, that should be considered as the whole of a wall. So the Gemara, and then the Gemara talks about if you have a wall and then you have a hole in the wall and you throw something four amas and it lands in the hole in the wall. And there the Gemara says that it's considered whatever status the wall has, it is the same thing. It's machlek is the Gemara there, because the one opinion of the Gemara is that it has the same thing as a wall. And the other one says you look at the dimensions of that hole, see where that hole is. And therefore the Gemara is trying to work out according to that opinion that says that has the same din as the wall, why don't we say the same thing regarding the creek? Or at least say Zidi holds like that opinion. We don't have to come to these other ants and say there's a machlekes, because a big chiddush to say that somebody holds a karmelis is only three tvachim. And then, you know, you're ready to consider karmel. Nobody says that. So maybe it's better to say that he treats this creek as if it's a pocket or a hole of a wall, and it's an extension of the lake. Says, a karmelis is not chashuv enough to say that its holes have the same din as the karmel itself. Bad enough that the Chachamim say that that a karmelis is also you shouldn't carry there, but they weren't so machmet to say that also the holes of this particular or the extension should also be treated like it. That's one answer. You want to say that our holes are karmelis? Only if it's like a wall, the holes are inside that wall. Hachem mufleg is here the body of water, the large bodies of water on both ends of the chatzah, and the creek leaves that body and crosses through the courtyard. So no one says that's considered a hole. That's why we couldn't answer that. Rav Yehuda going to overlay. Rav Yehuda says, "Could go and, for example, to overlay nifka apuma that he has. What he did was he put pieces of boards on both ends of this creek. That when it abuts or when it joins into the source to the body of water, and there you have a mechitza with a hole in between." Like to narrow, you wanted because you didn't want the water to rush right through. So you narrowed the entrance and the exit. You put boards across and you made a very narrow entrance to go in and out. So then we say as follows: nothing to the countless. And the argument here is about lovud. If you hold that since there's only a small entrance, according to Rabbanon, lovud is less than three tvachim. So you have less than three tvachim, even though the water goes through. It's as if there's a full wall on both ends of this canal, and therefore it's not considered a countless anymore. According to Rab Shimon, it is four tvachim. Because we had an argument early in the Masechta, whether right in the beginning, if lovud is three tvachim or four tvachim. That's the argument here. Not regarding the domain, it's regarding this lovud, this imaginary closure of the wall. My answer is, keep going to Ovlo Nifke Apuma, you made these boards on the entrance and the exit. But Ozdo Rabbanu Tamai, Rabbanu consists of the view that lovud is three tvachim, less than three tvachim. And Rab Shimon Gamliel, Tamai that has Ovlo is less than four tvachim. Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, a gezustra, these balconies, shehila ma'ila mina mayim, that's above the water. In other words, you have this creek that's flowing underneath, and you have this balcony which is a yachid. You want to draw water from that. Ain, we already had it before. Ain, mamalin, him, and a b'shabbos. You now draw water from the creek to this porch. So you take it from a karmelis to a shes yachid. Elegin oslo mechitza, you have to make some kind of wall, gevoya asar tvachim, 10 tvachim high. Whether it's above the porch, in other words, the porch, the exuster itself is just a board sitting on two pegs sticking out of your wall, and butting your wall of the house, and it's protruding outside. So, and that's four tvachim by four tvachim. So you make walls upwards 10 tvachim high. So now you have a closed domain, or you make the walls downwards. In other words, the bottom of the board, you make three walls that are suspended downwards, facing this creek. And we said that even though it's suspended walls, we are very lenient when it comes to drawing water, that's sufficient. That's how Rashi learns Mamata. Others learn Mamata means actually make it right above the creek itself. And therefore, and you make a hole, you bore a hole right in the middle of your porch, and that's how you draw water up and down. And we use the rule of good achis, we imagine that these walls are drawn all the way down to the creek. Then we'll continue. Mishnah continues. Likewise, shteges is you have two of these porches. Let's say with no walls. Zu lemayla mazu, one higher than the other. They're not directly one beneath the other. They're one higher than another, but they're parallel to each other. But one is higher than the other, and they're less than four tefachim apart. We already had this before as well. Likewise, shteges is one azu, two porches, one higher than the other. Also, you made a wall around the top porch, and therefore the people in the bottom porch are also using the top porch. They throw the bucket upwards to the top porch, and then they lower it down. But they did not make any walls for the bottom one. Then stay in asudus. Both cannot use the bottom one for sure. You can't use. There's no walls around there, so there's no mechitza to enable you to carry from the creek. But even the top porch that has the walls, because the bottom porch now has access to the top porch, and they didn't make an eight of together, the people and the bottom porch or the lower porch, as long as it's within four tefachim, prohibit the people who live in the house with the top porch from using it to draw water, because it's like a common courtyard that needs an eidah between the two, achi arva, till they make some kind of an eidah. Says the Gemara, Masis and Al Mishnah is like Chananya ben Akavya. Al Mishnah seems not to agree with Chananya ben Akavya. What's the story? The Tanya learned Chananya ben Akavya. Chananya ben Akavya says, Gezustra, if you have, we already had it before as well. Sheyesh bo dal amas al dal amas, if you have 4 amas by 4 amas, which is 24 tfachim by 24 tfachim, he says you don't even need to fix walls. You can just have imaginary walls. Chaykig bo dal dalad, you bore a hole that's 4 by 4. Umimale, right? And then you go ahead and you can fill up. Why? Because he says we imagine if you bore a hole that's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, there remains 10 tfachim on each side, and we imagine even though they're horizontal as if they're vertically, we bend them down. Because he says, you say two things, kaif ve'agud. He says you imagine that the horizontal walls are actually vertical, and then we imagine that these walls extend all the way down to the water if it's 10 tfachim long. Umimale. So therefore, obviously, our Mishnah only holds you do one of them. You don't do kaif and agud, you just do agud. That this is what Rav Chananya ben Akavya says, that you're allowed to do that, was only in the case of Tveria. Why there? Hoyel, we already had before. Hoyel, since v'yesh la'ognim, first of all, had a rim, a very noticeable rim. The water level was low, and everybody could see the rim around it. And v'ayodas, there were cities all surrounding it. And v'kafifas, and you had all these yards that used for storage. And we learned that all of these yards, if they're larger than 2 sol, larger than 50 by 100 amas, even though it's a private place, it's all closed off. But nevertheless, midir abundance, it's a large area that does not encompass a dwelling place. You shouldn't carry in. But since all of these places, Makifas Oysa, are surrounding it, so everybody can actually see that it's, you know, sort of surrounded with proper walls and everything else. So therefore, he was very lenient. Aval Bishar Mimislai. And so even though technically it's a Carmelist, he said that the little bit that you do for this particular Gzustra, which is you have imaginary walls, I'm happy with imaginary walls in this case. Because it's clear, everybody can see the walls around it. But a normal creek where you cannot really tell the walls and anything else around it, you need a lot more than that. Maybe he agrees with our Mishnah that you actually have to build physical walls around your porch. Says the Gemara, talking about Chananya ben Akavya, tell him, we learned Gimel Dvorim, Chananya ben Akavya, Lanche Tveria. Since this incident happened at Tveria, and he allowed them, he was very lenient with them to use these imaginary walls from a flat porch, he also allowed a couple other things. Number one is, as we said, Mamalin Mayim Megzuz B'Shabbos. You're allowed to draw water standing on your balcony on Shabbos, number one, which we just said. The next thing that he allowed was the Toinin Be'otza. He said that you're allowed to store fruit, we'll soon see, in the leftover of plants. And we'll soon see what's the big deal, why shouldn't you be able to do that? Okay? This is like legumes, the leftover, the leaves of legumes. And we're talking, just briefly, we're going to be talking about that. If you have food and it comes in contact with something that generates tumah, to contaminate it, the food will not automatically become, is not a receptacle, and it's not susceptible to tumah unless it became wet once and you were happy. Now you wrapped in this particular food, you wrapped it up with the leaves of legumes, legume plants, and in the morning there's dew that's on it, so they're all wet. And now you wrapped up food with this, so the question is, do we say that the food that you wrapped in it is wet and you are happy, so therefore in the future, if it ever comes in contact with tumah, it'll become tummy. He says, no, don't worry about it, you're allowed to do that. We'll soon see why. So the time you're allowed to bots it, to hide it, to store it in the legume plants. And the last thing he said was, and umestapkin ba'aluntis. You're allowed to dry so the towel, we're not worried, on Shabbos you're not allowed to squeeze. You're not allowed to squeeze water out of a sponge, you're not allowed to squeeze water out of a towel, but if you're allowed to wipe yourself after you took a bath or something, you went to the mikveh, and when I worry, you're going to squeeze it out. And the Gemara says, let's explain all these three. The Malamang is what Shabbat Hodami just said. But tell me about somebody, what's that all about? The time we learned, Hishkim Lahavi Pseilis. If you woke up in the morning, you woke up, let's say, early morning when the dew comes out, to bring in, let's say, the leftover of whatever of your crop is, In Bishvil Shiyesh Olav Tal, the reason why you got up so early in the morning is because you wanted to capture the dew, you wanted the moisture, that means Harei V'chiyutan. The pasuk says, Kiyutan Olav Mayim, you know, if water was placed on it, you didn't put it, it was placed on it. And yet if it was placed on it, it's considered you're happy, and it's now susceptible to Tumah. But it's written Kiyitain. So Bimar learns out that Yutan is similar to Kiyitain. Just like when you put something, why did you put it? Because you want it, otherwise you wouldn't do it. So even if it happened by itself, but if you demonstrate to us that you're happy that it happened, like you put something out there when it's raining, so obviously you want to become wet, even though you didn't physically make it wet. Here too, if you woke up in the morning, the first thing to be able to take these plant leaves is and there's residue. Is it because you wanted the dew? Then obviously, even though you didn't put the place of the dew there, it happens by itself. It's as if you placed it there, and now anything you wrap around in it and became wet means that you are happy, and they will become susceptible to tumah. But the im bishvil shalayi vata malachta, maybe you have you work some other profession. So the reason why you got up early in the morning is so that you get it over and done with before you go off to work. Then ain't bichyutan, you haven't demonstrated at all that you're happy with the fact that it's moist, and therefore the food that you wrap in it is not bichyutan. We don't say that it's susceptible now to tumah. So that's the case he's talking about. And stam anche tveria kimishalayi vata malachta dami. Most people in Tveria had other forms of work. And therefore, if they did that in the morning, they didn't do it for the reason to be wet. They just did it for convenience. And what's the third thing? Mistapim baluntas, they allow to dry themselves with a towel. On Yom Tov and on Shabbos, let's say you wash yourself in cold water. And when I worry, you might squeeze it out. Mayi, what's that story? The time you learn, mistapik other baluntas, you're allowed to go ahead and wipe yourself with a towel. Umanicha bechalayin, and you place it on your window after you finished. V'lo yim serena l'ulayin, and don't give it to the people who run bathhouses. Them we don't trust. They're going to squeeze it out and try to rinse it out so you can use it again. Rab Shimon says, af mevia biyodil terbeisa. Not only do you have to leave it outside, but he's saying leave it outside by the window. He's saying here that no, you can actually bring it into your house as well. And we're not worried that when you bring it to the house, you're going to go and dry it and so on and so forth. according to the first opinion, you just leave it outside. We don't bring it in the house because we're scared that you might then go ahead and squeeze it. But over here, it doesn't look right. Shenkin Shimon says you can even bring it into the house. It's not a problem whatsoever. Rabbi Huna says that when we say over here that you're allowed to draw water, you're allowed to draw water, you know, what we just said in our Mishnah. But you're not allowed to, from your porch, throw your wastes into the canal, because when you throw in the canal, then the water is going to go straight out, be transported into the Carmelis. So you cannot do that. So this mechitza tluya, this is ben mechitza, only works regarding drawing water from this creek, but not by pouring it through that hole back into the water, because it'll inevitably go out into the Carmelis. Says the Gemara, Maskar Rav Shizbi v'chima ben zel uka. So what is the difference between this and the case of an uka? We'll learn in the next Mishnah, that if you have a courtyard, that you're allowed to pour water into the creek, if you have a courtyard, we say that if you have a ditch where you put all your wastes into, you're allowed to do it as long as it can carry. It's larger than an area that can carry two saw, and you're allowed to. And even if the uka is full already, you're still allowed to throw things in there. Why? Why is that any different than here? L'chayil, if you're going to put in the uka and if it's full, it's going to flow outwards and go outside the property. And it'll go maybe into the Shusharabim. So he says, Hani taimi vahani loy taimi. The difference is that over there, in the case of the uka, the water gets absorbed in the ground. So it's not inevitable that it's going to go out into the Shusharabim. And therefore, when you poured it in, you had no intention of going to Shusharabim. You didn't even think about it, because you just thought it'll stay where it is. It will get absorbed in the ground where it is. And if it went out, so be it. You had no intention of doing that. You didn't think about it. Because even if you did think about it, the fact is you poured in the Shusha Yachid and then it pushed out. It's called a Kareh Sheni and so on and so forth. But over here, in the case of the creek, when you pour in the creek, it's going straight out. Everything's flowing the whole time. So you knew it's not going to get absorbed anywhere. It's going straight out. So therefore, as if you poured it straight in the Shusha Rabim. Ikirami is another version. Don't think that you're not allowed to pour out. In fact, you're allowed to pour from your gzustra into this canal. You're allowed to. Why not? Hainu uka. Of course, why should it be any different than the case we'll learn in the next mission about the uka, where you're allowed to pour water into that pit, even though you know that it's overflowing, it's going to go straight into Shusharabim. What's the difference? Says the Gemara. Ma'otem, I would have thought, I would have thought that in a courtyard there's a limit to how much water you're going to put in, how much you're going to do. So therefore, it might get absorbed in the ground. That's why maybe you're allowed to. But over here, it's definitely going to go outside. Maybe you're not allowed to. Kamash Malon, that nevertheless, you are permitted to do it. You're allowed to put it into the creek because it's in Rishus HaYachid, even though you know for a fact that ultimately it'll go into Rishus HaRabim. I put in Rishus HaYachid, you have no interest that it should go into Rishus HaRabim. And that's why, or you don't care. And that's why it is permitted. That's the story of our toilets today. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mr. Shah.